In December, an iconic species of starfish was declared critically endangered by an international union of scientists. Sunflower sea stars are the largest of their kind and hardest hit by a wasting syndrome that has caused sea star numbers to plummet up and down the West Coast. But there are pockets of healthy populations in the Salish Sea. And a scientist working at Friday Harbor Labs on San Juan Island is pioneering new techniques to breed them in captivity. The hope is to learn exactly what is killing them and someday boost their populations by releasing them back into the wild. Marine biologist Jason Hodin spoke about the project with KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe. He began by explaining just how devastating and mysterious the wasting syndrome has been.
The equivalent would be like a disease that affected every single mammal in the west coast of North America. And there's no such thing. There is no disease that affects every mammal. And the fact that we don't know what it is, it's a problem in the sense that if we want to do anything about trying to help recover a species, it's absolutely critical to know what it is that's causing this. And I think that luckily within the last couple of years, and with this endangered species listing in December, the first ever for a sea star, for the sunflower star, that has kind of redoubled the interest and the effort in the scientific community and in the funding agencies, honestly, who need to fund some of this work.
How does your program help this enormous problem? What have you stepped up to do?
We are trying to backfill a bunch of information that we don't know about this species that we really probably should by now, an important predator in the ocean that may be described rightly as what's known as a keystone species, something that when you remove it from the ecosystem, you have cascading large-scale ecological effects. So we're trying to understand basic aspects of their life cycle. For example, how long lived are they? How long would it take them to recover their populations and grow from embryo stage to adult? And there was literally zero information about that for the species.
How fast do they grow?
Fast. We started with juveniles that settled at less than a millimeter in diameter, a little dot on a page. And now they are, you know, bigger than the size of a quarter. They're like the largest ones are almost 2 inches in diameter now.
How many do you have?
14 juveniles right now, which was a big decline from the number of initial juveniles that we had. One of the things that was the biggest mystery was how to raise the juveniles. Nobody knew that. It's almost never been done for any sea star, unlike a lot of other species that have some direct perceived benefit to humans that we eat, basically, in most cases. A lot of the species that we don't really know much about at these cryptic stages.
You didn't even know what to feed them, right?
Exactly. We didn't know what kind of conditions to hold them in. We didn't know what to feed them. We didn't know whether they wanted to be kept in perfectly clean cages or whether they like the sort of scuzz that grows on the bottom of dishes that are kept in flowing seawater or what. Like, we didn't know any of that.
So you have 14 juveniles now. How many adults did you capture to breed?
So we have right now 29 adults in captivity. And that's another thing that we've sort of learned. We've figured out how to keep them under good conditions. You know, we haven't had any wasting or losses of any adults in quite a while. They all have different color patterns and are different. We have names for every single one of the 29. We can recognize them all. We know for 21 of the 29 now or something like that, whether they're male or female.
So is anybody extremely virile or less so? Do they have personalities, the adults?
Oh, they have personalities for sure. Many of them have learned that when we lift the tank cages, we do that to check on them. When we lift it and they're off for a little while, that's generally feeding day. And they will come up to the surface and expose their undersides to be fed. And some of them do that kind of thing more than others. And they have certain behaviors or places in the tank where they like to hang out and stuff like that. There's no doubt that they have some degree of personalities that we're just kind of getting to learn.
So the ones that you named, what are they called?
I named one Prince because it's kind of has a purple hue. I named one Van Gogh after, it reminds me of a sunflower from a Van Gogh painting. And Clooney has kind of gray hair.
Are those all males?
No, Van Gogh's a female and we named them before we knew.
What are they eating?
Right now they're eating mostly clam juveniles that we got from Taylor Shellfish. We also have in our lab right now, we're basically a multi-level aquaculture, small-scale operation. We raise algae to feed to the larvae, small clams to feed to the juveniles. And then we have mussels that we collect in the lab that we feed to the adults. And this is one of the challenges of raising a big predator is, you know, they're hungry and they need a lot of food and you got to raise their food too.
They eat a lot, right?
Yeah.
How much do you have to feed them?
They probably would eat more than we're feeding them, but I think that what we're feeding them is We've proven that it's sufficient because they will complete an entire reproductive cycle in captivity. We feed them like one large size mussel or two medium sized mussels every 2 days.
Shell and all?
Yeah, they'll swallow the whole shell and then they spit out the empty shell.
Wow. And have these stars ever recovered from the wasting disease? I mean, do we see them growing back limbs or anything like that?
Yeah. For the reproductive process, what we've had to do is had to actually cut off their limbs in order to be able to get their ovary or testes out. They haven't been responding to the standard technique of injecting a hormone to get them to spawn. So what we've noticed is that they've recovered from that operation very well. We haven't lost any stars as a result of it. In fact, all of them are growing their arms back. And when we collect them from the wild, we see in most stars there's evidence for one or more of their arms that have been lost at some point in the past. And now we can kind of like estimate that it was probably sometime in the previous 2 to 3 years. That's how long it seems to take for them to grow an arm back fully, so you can't distinguish it from the other ones.
So what's the next step now? You mentioned you have larvae. You're about to do a second round of captive breeding. Is that right?
Yeah, we're doing a bunch of experiments right now. One of the big ones is we're looking to see the sensitivity of the larvae to changes in temperature. It's basically a climate change experiment. And again, this is another thing we can contribute by being able to raise them in the lab. We can directly address questions like, as the species is recovering, it's going to be recovering in a changing climate. Are they well adapted for that? That's one of the things we want to know. And for the larvae, at least, what we can say is they're actually quite robust to temperature. We've been raising them at cool temperatures, and that's not anywhere near their optimum. It looks like their optimum temperature is above 60 degrees Fahrenheit, 17 degrees Celsius, which is, you know, 63 degrees. That's warm for around here. We don't get water temperatures up to that level except in tide pools in the middle of the day. So that's a good sign. And then other things that we're really interested in is optimizing the growth in this next round to try to get a lot more than 14 through so we can see whether or not you can produce them in numbers that might eventually be reintroduced into the wild at some point, if that seems wise to do.
Marine biologist Jason Hodin speaking via Zoom with KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe. You can find this conversation and some pretty cool photos at our website, knkx.org.